Yasmin, apparently we are having our moment as Brits on TikTok, because apparently on TikTok, the latest food trend is British food.
But British food is so...
It's having a moment. We do very good comfort food. So apparently cheese on toast, jacket potatoes, roast dinner with Yorkshire puddings is like, it's just being celebrated. And you know what? I'm here for it. I enjoy all of those delicacies.
A lot of British food and British like delicacies are actually British food, like chicken korma.
Oh yeah.
Chinese takeaway.
Apparently there are more Indian restaurants in London than there are in Delhi.
I love my people. Yes, go India. Woo! India. India. I've never been to India. I feel like they would look at me and be like, what are you doing here?
Hello and welcome to All Wednesdays We Wear Black with me, Sophie K, and Yasmin Suman.
Hello, sexies.
Hello. So today's episode is all about rock earworms throughout the decade. Those songs that we just cannot live without, that are just so top tier. Now, obviously, we could go through a lot of decades, but we decided to start from the 70s onwards, pretty much. And I think rock doesn't get enough credit for having good earworms.
Right? Like, there's so many songs that I hear played on the radio, especially at Christmas. There's a lot of rock songs I hear played on the radio that I'm like, oh, I bloody forgot about that.
At Christmas? Like, which ones? Like The Darkness?
Yeah.
Do you know what? Do you know... Right, random facts. This is what it's going to be today. Did you know? Back in my day. Justin Hawkins, who... obviously wrote a lot of the songs for The Darkness, he wrote jingles before he was in the band. So he wrote a jingle for IKEA, for example.
Really?
So that's why he's so good at writing those hooks, because he can write those songs that get stuck in your head forever. Justin Hawkins, the man.
IKEA. What would a metal IKEA intro sound like?
Everything. Have you never played IKEA or death metal?
What?
All right, you need to play that afterwards. You have to guess whether it's the name of a band or whether it's IKEA furniture. It's a pretty fun game.
Oh, my God. No, I want to play this game. Hold on.
Not right now. Yasmin? No,
Sophie.
No, Yasmin, we're going to continue with the episode. So we're going to go through the decades of... interestingly, I also do a show on Absolute Radio called Through the Decades on a Friday and Saturday night. Just throwing that in there. So... Got to get the plugs in. So Yasmin, we're going to start back in the 70s.
Right.
What songs have you got? Because this is, obviously it's before my time, I wasn't born yet, but this is a lot before your time.
Was Motley Crue the 70s?
I think you're thinking, it depends what tracks are, but I think they're more 80s. Have you not researched this?
I have! Fleetwood Mac are the ones I was going to say, but okay. I was going to say Dreams by Fleetwood Mac.
Nice. Okay, so are you just going to list TikTok songs here? Would you say you know 70s music, or you're interested in it at all? Or would you say it's something that you just kind of know from songs that went viral on TikTok?
I know it... As a music journalist, I know a surface-level understanding of the 70s, but it's just not something that's piqued my interest. The 80s is where it's at, to be honest with you. Like, that was glam metal, hardcore was popping off. Like,
oh my
the, 70s,
God, no.
The 80s 70s. Were great. The 80s were great.
Okay, I'm gonna bring you some songs, right? And you might not know these, so I want you to write them all down.
Okay.
And I want you to make a playlist out of these. Okay. So, 70s songs that I vibe with, and guaranteed you know a lot of these. Mm-hmm. One of these actually did go viral on TikTok not that long ago.
Okay.
Because people were saying, imagine being in the club and this song comes on. And it's Toto, Hold the Line. Like, that song, Hold the Line. There's going to be some really bad singing in this episode. Love isn't always on time.
When did Africa by Toto come out?
That was more 80s Africa.
This is what I mean. This is what I mean. The 80s were better. Boo, 70s.
Another one for you. Have you heard... So this song, I think I appreciate, and any millennials listening right now will know that there was a time in, like, the early noughties where a lot of hip-hop artists used to sample rock songs. So a lot of our introduction to rock songs from the 70s was because we heard them in the noughties. And one of those was covered by M.O.P. And it was the song Cold as Ice by Foreigner.
Ooh.
That song, like, that song's going to get stuck in your head for days. Like, there is once you've heard that song, there is no one hearing that song, there is no forgetting that song. I think you should listen to that and add that to your playlist. But this one you do know, Yasmin. The next two that I've got, you will know.
Okay.
And it's interesting that I went for this song over the others, but this is the one that sticks in my head, maybe because I've heard it a lot recently. War Pigs from Black Sabbath.
Oh, yeah, but that's like late 70s.
It's the 70s, Yasmin.
It's late 70s.
When you pick the 70s, you get all the years in the...
Oh,
in
so
the,
we're just going to go with 79. Okay, firstly, I love Black Sabbath. I'm more of a paranoid girly myself, but slay. I'm kind of surprised you haven't mentioned Lynyrd Skynyrd. Sweet Home Alabama.
I apologise for you singing all the way through.
It came out in 1974.
By the way, can I just say to you that War Pigs was actually released in the year 1970. It wasn't in late 70s. It was 1970.
Really? I don't know a lot about Black Sabbath, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'd say definitely Lynyrd Skynyrd. It is a great earworm. I wonder if it's wormed its way through my brain so many times that now I can't hear it.
Do you know what I've had in my head recently? Free Bird. Free Bird! You were right, this episode is just going to be me singing badly, I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, let's not do that. We'll go to the 80s now.
Wait, you've missed some other earworms.
Wait, have you just Googled it now? Are you doing your actual prep as we are on the episode?
No,
you are just Googling it. You didn't have a list. Where's your notes, Yasmin?
It's on my notes app, okay? Along with the list of reasons I hate you. No, Bohemian Rhapsody came out in the 70s. I feel like 1974.
Do you know what, right? Think of the chorus of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
It doesn't have one.
No.
And that's the most amazing thing. Imagine being so skilled, you can write a song.
That really hurt my brain then, being like, okay, it doesn't have one, but okay.
Imagine writing a song that is an earworm, but doesn't have a chorus. Like, that is next level. Like, I don't think bands today could ever. Like, bands today write a lot of songs without choruses, but I just don't know.
But they fucking suck. Yeah, I mean, bands write songs today, but it sucks. Go home. I'm kidding. Joking.
I don't know if there's a song that I've heard that's blown my mind to the point of genius in the way that Bohemian Rhapsody still blows my mind to this day. It's genius.
Yeah, it's a really like complicated song. It's layered. I like it.
It's an onion. It's an onion of a song.
It's an onion of a song. By an Indian man, by the way. Oh, Indians winning again. Pew, 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 pew. I don't know why I've taken that stance today, but
that's your stance. There always has to be a something.
Yes.
So let's go to the 80s.
Okay.
And the biggest deal, because what we want to do here, right, in this episode, is try and create a really great playlist of music for you, just like the biggest earworms. And of course, Yasmin is just going to come alive as we start talking about MySpace songs. But as we go through these decades, I think it's interesting because a lot of these are before both of our times, but they're songs that have just stood the test of time.
Yeah, I feel like the 80s is really the era for that, you know? Like,
the 80s had vibes, man.
One of my, like, straight off the top of my head when we were thinking of this episode, you know, You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC. I feel like that came out in, like, the early 80s, but, oh, what a bloody banger!
Weirdly.
Bloody banger!
The song that came into my head was Back in Black.
Back in Black! Sorry.
AC/DC are just, like, they are hit machines.
I know. Another One Bites the Dust as well by Queen came out in the 80s.
That is another huge one. That is a huge earworm.
Oh, God.
I would say the 80s had a very powerful time because bands were like, rock was king. It was the genre that everybody was listening to. People dressed in rock. It was still like controversial to be a rocker. in a way.
You were still a Satanist if you were a rocker.
Yeah. I mean, literally. One of the other tracks that I put as one of my stick-in-my-head songs, Eye of the Tiger.
Oh my God, by Survivor. Yeah.
Like, that
yeah.
song.
Yeah.
If you're at the gym, if you're trying to find motivation to do something with your life, like, Eye of the Tiger is the one. So you say 80s. Okay, Motley Crue is your favourite. What's your favourite Motley Crue song? Like, what was the... What's the one that gets stuck in your head? Because I'll be honest, how much I appreciate Motley Crue, I don't know if I find them earworms.
Kickstart My Heart. Whoa! Yeah! Kickstart My Heart. I mean, they're all gross men, gross rocker men who probably... Motley Crue couldn't happen in today's day and age, but, you know, I just like that song. It's just, they just remind me of the 80s because they were just so obscenely, like... glam metal, even though they're not glam metal, they just dressed like it. It was the hair. Who else? Def Leppard.
Glam. Oh yeah, if you're getting into that glam, there is Def Leppard. There's Kiss. Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Pour Some Sugar on Me. You've got to sing it on with me.
In the '80s, they wrote those songs that I don't know. They were just really sexy. Like you'd get dressed in all your leathers and. Jive around.
You would be having sex. They were fucking back in the 80s. They were fucking. Fuck it. Having sex. Engaging in coitus. Speaking of earworms, Don't Stop Believing by Journeys came out in 1981.
That is a huge tune. The problem is with that song, though, is I feel like it was ruined by High School Musical.
Really? Glee has ruined everything for me. Glee has ruined everything. We, as a society, will never recover from the gleeification of songs. And what's pissing
me
off is...
Was it Glee that did it or High School Musical?
Glee. And do you know what's worse? Okay. You know what's worse? Okay. Because UMG have taken all of their catalogue off of TikTok, all we have left is the Glee covers. It's like my own personal hell. It's like UMG were like, how can we piss off this random non-binary bitch in Birmingham? Let's take all of our catalogue off, but leave the Glee stuff.
Were you ever into Glee? Because I feel like you're the age for Glee. You're the age of Glee. I feel like you're.
I am
just...
the age of Glee, but unfortunately, I was getting bitches and doing drugs in high school. No, I shouldn't joke about that. I was having a traumatic childhood. That's what I was doing. I was the Glee age, but I'm not a Glee girly. I'm sorry to any Gleeks. That's what they call them. Gleeks.
Is that what they call them? Are they? Is it still like a thing that people identify with, like as Glee fans?
I feel like Gleek is a slur at this point. Imagine me like, you're a Gleek. I would.
But do you know what they had in the '80s? They had Fame.
Oh, okay.
And Fame was like it was about a dance school, I think. I
I'm
never
gonna
watched it.
Live forever.
And so
yeah,
they were just like really, and it was cool. And I feel like. I feel like there's a difference between what Fame did, and I feel like Glee was theatre students, and theatre students just... The musical theatre students just... every time you have a musical episode of any show, it ruins my day.
It ruins my day. Do you know as well, Glee is also directed by the guy who directs American Horror Story, Ryan Murphy, so it explains a lot. I feel like it was just a social experiment to see how twisted his mind could get in the form of theatre kids. Just keep it on topic, because I will go on a tangent about Glee. The 80s, Joan Jett, I love rock and
I've
roll.
I've got Joan Jett, I love rock and roll. That's on my list. Do you know about Joan Jett's history?
No.
So Joan Jett was like, she's an icon. She's a pioneer. She is somebody that was held back from being a woman in rock and not adhering. And she wanted to go solo, do her own thing. In her solo career, she found so many like faults within the music industry that she decided to set up her own record label. She set up Black Heart Records, and it was to stand up against all of the major label red tape that had held her back in her career. And that's the label that really helped L7 and Kitty, which is amazing.
Interesting. I didn't know. I fucking love Kitty. I love Kitty. Kitty are great.
Joan Jett is like, she is... the icon of our era. She is such a, like, if I bumped into Joan Jett, I think she would be the person that would make me lose my words.
Don't. Yeah.
She's
yeah,
so cool.
Honestly. Do you know who else? Sorry. I've just thought of this. Bon Jovi. Living on a Prayer and Tina Turner. What's Love Got to Do with It? What's love got to do with it?
What's to everyone listening right now, honestly, emotion. I will try my best to edit out Yasmin singing.
Do you know what would be really funny if I was a really good singer? If I was actually sleep token and I've just been singing terrible on this podcast the entire time to like cover up the fact that I am sleep token.
Oh, you're Vessel.
Is that his name? Yeah, I'm Vessel.
So you just whack on a pair of stilts and a black cloak and some skinny jeans.
Actually, there's two of us in the Vessel outfit. It's like two kids on top of each other trying to get to a theme park in a big trench coat.
Yeah, okay. That's, yeah, I would, sure. Sure, mate, sure. So 80s, just, they had anthems. This is what I feel like we're missing in 2024 is those... like Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer, anthems, sing along to it, power ballads, fist in the air, singing along. Because as you've heard me say before, I think we've lost choruses like we used to hear in a lot of these songs.
Yeah, I think we need to bring back Satanic Panic so that we can make songs have good... There's some good choruses of songs. I feel like breakdowns, in metal, breakdowns were like, they epitomise... We'll get into this. Breakdowns epitomise 2010s and we're just getting out of that, right? We're having some nice sort of soft choruses again. Singing Architects do some good sing-along choruses, I'll give them that. So we're just escaping the latches of the breakdown epidemic that happened in 2010. Were you affected by the breakdown epidemic of the 2010s? If so, call 1-800-I-don't-give-a-fuck.com.
Is that what you wrote down on your notes today?
Yeah, I did. I actually did. Do you want to get into the 90s?
Okay, 90s. This is a big one. 90s was hot.
The 90s was sexy.
Do you know who was a really unexpected earworm? Mm. And I wouldn't normally put it on an earworm list, but I got this stuck in my head. Alanis Morissette, you ought to know. Every so often that will get stuck in my head. I have never heard a better breakup song in my life. Like, genuinely. If you're going through a breakup right now, if you do not put that song on, you're not going to get through this as quick.
She popped her Alanis Morris sussy on that song.
I'm not sure that worked.
Okay. Are we going to talk about Nirvana? God.
Nirvana. We've just started, Yasmin.
Oh, yeah. They were the 90s. They made grunge happen in the 90s.
Oh, Yasmin. That is... the opinion.
I'm
going to
make so many people angry.
Absolutely hung, drawn, and quartered. Because there was like the big grunge band, so you can't. People.
It was just Nirvana. No, I'm kidding.
Gen Z think it was all about Nirvana. But obviously, there was so.
There was Soundgarden.
There was. You had Alice in Chains.
Black Ocean.
As a 90s person, let me bring you some of the songs that came out in the 90s that I think are the biggest earworms.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Everything Green Day.
Okay.
Everything Dookie. Mm-hmm. One of the ones that proper used to get stuck in my head was Offspring, Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Wow, that was the 90s.
That was the 90s.
It feels like it's a lot younger, though. It feels like it's more of a 2000s song. That's interesting.
That was the end of the 90s, and that was around the same time as Bare Naked Ladies and all of those types of songs that were just... It was a weird time. But we'll start earlier on in the 90s. Nine Inch Nails, Closer. Do you know what's funny about that song, Yasmin? Do you know it's not a song about sex? It's not a song about lust.
What's
do you know
about?
That?
What's it about?
It's actually a song, and it's something that Trent Reznor apparently used to get quite annoyed about. It was a song about self-hatred. And it was about, like, obsession.
I just can't have anything nice.
It became the last song, though.
I've been enjoying Closer as a little slut. And now you're telling me that this guy's here, like, I feel violated, penetrated.
He hates himself. So the next one, and I know you'll know this one, and please don't sing it, Yasmin. You don't need to sing this. Our audience know this song. Goo Goo Dolls, Iris. Now, that song was on the City of Angels soundtrack. And it's like, this is what I miss. There was a time, right, in the 90s and in the 80s and before, where movie soundtracks were like king. And we don't get that anymore. Like, when was the last time anyone cared about a film soundtrack so much?
Yeah, you had it with the Tony Hawk Pro Skate. It turned into video games. And then,
yeah.
Well, no, and also WWE, like a lot of like wrestlers would go out to certain band songs. But no, it video game soundtracks, you don't really see it anymore. People put songs on Twitch, on their Twitch streams, and that's kind of where new music comes from. But no, I agree.
It was really cool at the time to be able to like find songs through films. And sometimes you'd get bands that would appear on your favourite TV shows. Like if you ever watched Charmed, they had bands that would appear on the show there. But Creep from Radiohead, Nirvana, Black Hole Sun, they're the earworms that get me every time from the 90s.
Really?
They're the ones that get stuck in my head.
Mine are Everlong by Foo Fighters, Zombie by the Cranberries.
Yeah.
Wonderwall by Oasis. I'm sorry. It does get stuck in my head.
You just said in a previous episode that you didn't like Oasis and Gen Z's don't like Oasis.
Oh, I don't, but it's an earworm. An earworm's an earworm.
Yeah. Do you know what?
A good Oasis song is a good song.
They wrote some amazing, absolute
I'm sure as
bangers.
Fans of metal, we know that there are some terrible people who write really good songs.
We're making the best playlist here, Yasmin.
I know.
This is like the best playlist ever. Okay.
I know.
Should we go to the noughties? Because this is where shit starts to get real. I had so many songs for the noughties, I was like, how do I even cope with this? And then the thing that I realised is there were so many eras throughout the noughties, and I don't even understand how it moved so quick. It was... Because, like, when you think of the start of the noughties... Okay, so we had nu metal. So, of course, we're going to talk about Linkin Park.
Mm-hmm.
They are one of the biggest selling bands of the 21st century. And it's weird because people treat them like this underground band, but they're not.
Yeah. But Linkin Park teetered from the 90s to the 2000s. Because I remember Hybrid Theory came out the same year I was born.
So it was really 2000, though, where it became... I feel like it was in the year 2000 where it was the one.
Into the year 2000. The 2000s was interesting for nu metal. I'll say you had Deftones, you had Korn, you had Linkin. Okay. Well, yeah, no, another, you had Linkin Park.
Another one that was an earworm from that era was, of course, Limp Bizkit with Rollin'. But do you know what's funny about that song, Yasmin? Is the video for it, which became so iconic, was actually a piss take about who people think they are. It wasn't them being like authentically themselves, and people took it really seriously.
I feel like they should have had that as a disclaimer, because Gen Z's watch that and go, they're so cool.
It was a joke, and they were like, most of the stuff that Limp Bizkit did, they were trolling us.
They're still trolling us. Dad vibes. As
the thing that you had is you had nu metal, but at the same time you had nu metal, you had like what you guys call divorced dad rock. And so what happened is Korn gave Limp Bizkit a leg up in their career, and Fred Durst gave another band a leg up in their career, which I feel was again another earworm, and it's Stained.
Really? Wait, how did Limp Bizkit give Stained? Explain.
So Fred Durst found Stained, and he helped them become a well-known band. And he directed the video for It's Been a While. He directed the video for that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So it was like they were helping each other out. And Stained, that song, It's Been a While, when that song gets stuck in your head, you cannot remove it. There is nothing you can do to in fact, I play Stained, It's Been a While, when I've had another song stuck in my head. I play Stained, It's Been a While, to get the other song out.
I did not know that about... That's crazy.
Yes, it's... And I love the fact that we had that whole, like, the soft rock side. I miss that these days. Like a good ballad.
Divorced dad rock.
Like a good radio ballad. Oh,
divorced
man.
Dad rock is what Sophie's talking about. And the kings of divorced dad rock are Nickelback, obviously.
Never met
it as a wise man. And couldn't cut it as a promise. Yeah, them. Who else was divorced dad rock?
Creed. Stained, Creed. I guess you guys would probably...
Seether.
Class, Who?
Seether. Yeah. God. It's who.
I thought you said fever. So then you go from that into emo, and this is probably where you come alive. Like, I can't believe that this is all in the same decade.
You missed Deftones, Change of the House of Flies. You missed Aerials and Chop Suey.
The only bit that ever gets stuck in my head from System of a Down would be wake up. Sometimes I'll just be going wake up. And sometimes I'll walk around doing that, which just sounds weird. But then I feel like when emo and MySpace like really start to pop off, the earworms were unreal.
Oh, they have something. Something happened in the 2000s, right? So like from the 80s, you had emo as like underground basement hardcore, right? Like DIY posters, khaki pants, ripped shirts. In the 90s, it was more like soft but angry, and like they would all wear like khaki pants and like nerdy glasses. Weezercore. But the 2000s, emo went through so many changes in such a short space of time. Like you had early emo, which was like Jimmy Eat World, American Football put out their album in 1999, Taking Back Sunday, Cute Is What We Aim For, that's an earworm. But I feel like around 2004/5 you had this, like, they called it what do they call it, major, I feel it's like major label emo, yeah, where like Fall Out Boy, Paramore, My Chemical Romance all got signed
Panic
to these big labels. Yeah, all got signed to these big labels, and people called them sellouts. But of the 2000s, I'm going to just list these. I'm just going to go. Are you ready?
I'm guessing we've got the same ones.
Taking Back Sunday, Make Damn Sure. I Write Scenes Not Tragedies by Panic! At the Disco. Dance Dance by Fall Out Boy. Face Down by the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus? That one. Misery Business by Paramore. The Kill, 30 Seconds to Mars. I'm Not Okay, My Chemical Romance. The Black Parade, My Chemical Romance. Sugar We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy. Vindicated by Dashboard Confessional. Senses Fail, Calling All Cars.
If you're talking earworms, though, I'm going to challenge you. I would say Teenagers was the biggest one for me for My Chemical Romance. That is an earworm.
Really?
Teenagers scare the living shit out of me. That's one that would get stuck in my head for like... Four days.
Yeah.
But what I love as well is that TikTok, because there was a divide at the time. Obviously, you had like black music, white music. And I love the fact that now that's been broken down and everybody on TikTok is just celebrating how much they loved Panic at the Disco. Hayley
Paramore. Yeah.
Paramore. Like and Fall Out Boy. Do you know? Right. Here's another random fact for you, because I did some research on these tracks.
Right.
I was today years old when I realised what Fall Out Boy, This Ain't a Scene is about.
What's it about?
So we just sing it, right? This is why I love this era, is because you'd have these happy songs, but they have so much depth in the meaning. Like, that was something you've had throughout time. But anyway, Fall Out Boy was singing about, A, they didn't want to be classed in this kind of emo movement in the way they were, in the same way that My Chemical Romance didn't at the time.
In the same way that, like, Embrace in Rites of Spring also didn't like it when Thrasher magazine called them emo and coined the term emo in like 1986. That is my emo knowledge.
They didn't like it. But Pete Wentz wrote the lyrics of this, and he said it was a commentary on people joining the emo scene or movement and making music in that vein to try and make money because it was the hot scene at the time. So when he's saying this is like this ain't a scene, this is an arms race, it's like this isn't a scene, this is just people trying to use it to make money. And I'm like, holy shit,
yeah, it's
course.
A goddamn arms race. Yeah
And that's what he was singing about, and I love the fact that that's what Patrick was singing about. I love the fact that song became as big as it did, because let's face it, that's something I think we've seen repeated in 2024
with artists
pretending to be emo.
Yeah.
Because it was blowing up on TikTok. So So that blew my mind. That was something that blew my mind.
That boy. I'm going to keep listing ones. Use, okay. The Taste of Ink. Check Yes, Juliet, We the Kings, Jamie All Over, Mayday Parade. Mayday Parade, Jamie All Over, not Jamie. That Mayday Parade. Mayday Parade. Good Charlotte, Boys, Girls. God, there's so many.
How
Marie,
can you miss
Beating
Heart Baby? That's
Beating
like
Heart
the,
Baby.
The catchiest earworm.
Fucking hell, there's so many. Like, it's really interesting that emo in the early 2000s was, like, kind of... I'd like to use, like, Taking Back Sunday as an example of, like, early 2000s emo. And then you went to the other side of it, which is where, like, near the late 2000s, early 2010s, you got this, like, screamo metalcore emo with, like, Bring Me the Horizon Suicide Season, the early Architects albums, Selfish Machines by Pierce the Veil. But I think it's really interesting the juxtaposition of how that changed so drastically.
Right. No, because that's what's great, though, because, like, you can't compare emo to nu metal.
You can't.
And you can't compare nu metal to, say, thrash metal. They're so different. And I guess I can understand and you can see why there was so much hate between the groups, because it sounded so different.
And also, you know, it's weird, right? Weezer, My Chemical Romance, and the first Bring Me the Horizon album are all emo, but they all sound so different. Like, I just that kind of, I can't, I'm having a moment. Go on.
Straight away when I do this, dang 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 dang
dang dang dang dang dang
dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang
dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang
dang dang dang dang dang dang dang
dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang dang.
Maybe, yeah, probably.
Oh, God, we're fucking yeah. old.
Yeah, because that's what everyone chants, isn't it? Everyone chants. That's so true. That's so true.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know you're dying to talk about the 2010s because this is where you come alive, because this is, like, a time that...
This is when I enjoyed music. This is, like, 2010. I was 11 in 2010. So this was my monumental years.
So 2000s is, like, my era. The 2010s is your era. I'd be interested to find out if the earworms, remember we're talking earworms here, Yasmin, not just songs you love, are the same for you as they are for me.
So again, I am just going to focus on emo because it's me. But what I find interesting about the 2010s is it went through so many changes in such a short space of time. Like, you had the early 2010s, which was like the, I like to call it Warped Tour core. It was just like all of these bands using the same riff on the same songs, and it was just like a hooky chorus and then a breakdown, and then it was usually about a girlfriend they don't like. For example, Ask Alexandra, Not the American Average. Ugh. Ugh. I think that might have been like, no, it was 2010. Oh, bloody brilliant. That the you stupid fucking, it stays in my head. It stays in my head. There were so many... Black Veil Brides, In the End.
It's amazing how much people hated Black Veil Brides.
So much. You know, this never aired, but I did an interview with him for Alternative Press in...
Who, Andy Black?
Andy Black in 2022. And I was 2021, and I was talking to him about how, like, he got so much hate back in the day, like, because we reflected on 10 years of their first album, or even the album that In the End came off. And I was saying to him, it's so interesting that, like, you got so much hate because you had a predominantly female audience, and there was this kind of, at the time, this hate between, like, metalheads and emos. You were either, like, one or the other. And he was like, yeah, I don't think it's lost on anyone that, like, I had a lot of female fans and they always got bashed because, God forbid, women enjoy things. And I was like, oh, love you, Andy Black. Love you. King shit. I wish I could air that interview, but I can't. But no, he's such a self-aware king. Oh,
they Mr. did look Andy silly Black. In their makeup, though.
They looked really stupid. They looked stupid. Like, feminism king, but also, oh my God, blend out that fucking eyeshadow. Jesus Christ. It was like if someone got... It's like if someone got drunk and said, draw Kiss from memory.
Yeah. That's it.
It's
that's
like if
it.
You were trying to draw a kiss and you had a stroke. Like, it just wasn't... It wasn't giving what they thought it was giving. But, you know, is that
they
not...
they loved it in that day.
Is that not the epitome of, like, emo? Is I'm sure if Andy Black looked back at his outfits, he'd be like... never mind.
I don't know what was in that makeup. Because I feel like he just pickled himself. I feel like he is a true life vampire that pickled himself. I feel like the 2010s were so good for metal, but I don't feel like those songs were earworms as much. That's going to piss some people off. I was a huge fan of bands like Gojira, all that type of thing, but I didn't get the earworm that I got from some of the bands that started coming out in that kind of warped... when pop punk came up to a rise, and you had acts like, I think it was around 2011, when you had Sleeping With Sirens releasing songs like If You Can't Hang.
No, like, so that was 2013.
Was that 2013?
No, 2014 even, because it's the anniversary of it this year. But they released If I'm James Dean and You're Audrey Hepburn in the early 2010s, I think in 2010. Stay for tonight if you want. I can't even go that high. I remember when everyone thought he was a girl.
I know.
Do you know who we haven't spoken about? And this is more relative to, like, British culture. I don't think it was an American earworm, but I do think it was a British earworm, right? When this came out, you could not escape it. Bite My Tongue, You Meet 6 Feet, Ollie Sykes. Are you joking me? Are you bloody joking? I couldn't escape it. I couldn't escape it.
You Meet 6 was so big for British culture. Some of the ones that got me from the 2010s. Okay, this is my list, right? So, I put Sleeping With Sirens. I put Issues, Mad At Myself.
Yeah.
That song. That,
so
just that bit,
Mad At Myself.
I don't know why that song, because a lot of people prefer Hooligans, blah, blah, but So Mad At Myself is an earworm that just gets stuck. But the one that I appreciate the most, and I found this too, that two bands that I don't feel like they... I know I've got way more. Hang on.
I'm going through the eras, right? So I'm still in the early 2010s. So I'm thinking
you're
like
still in the early 2010s.
Collide
okay.
With the Sky by Pierce the Veil, and that album, specifically King for a Day. But also I feel like A Match Into Water and Hold On Till May were also earworms. Like, I could not escape Hold On Till May. It was everywhere. I actually don't listen to that song because I'm tired of hearing it. But, like, when that came out, everyone was like, oh, my God, emo king. But Bulls in the Bronx as well. There were a lot of earworms off that album.
There were.
Sempiternal, Shadow Moses. Do you know what's weird? Yeah. Can You Feel My Heart wasn't the earworm at the time. It's become an earworm now. But yeah. I feel like Shadow Moses, because it says the, this is Sempiternal. Banana. That was the earworm. God, there's so
when you
many.
When you get to 2013, will you tag me back in again, please?
Oh God. I'm at 2013.
So you're at 2013. Can I just say, right, the first time I heard 21 Pilots, like, I didn't even know what I was hearing, but when I heard Vessel and I heard Car Radio and I heard Migraine, I was just like, what the hell is happening in my life right now?
Yeah.
This is game changing. And the industry just did not get it fully at the time, and how big it, because it was just bubbling over on I wasn't on Tumblr, so I wouldn't have known, but it was just bubbling over on Tumblr.
Yeah.
And the industry wasn't getting it. When will 21 Pilots go back to that emo sound?
Because Stressed Out was like, oof.
Stressed Ugh. Out.
Just stressed. That had a lot. I feel like that was their earworm, because that had a lot of, like, milestones for emo bands, like the first so and so to get a million hits or whatever. Yeah. Do you know what epitomizes? As we're going into, like, 2014, 2015, and we're talking about Tumblr, I could not fucking escape Brendan Urie. Brendan Urie, genuinely, I don't know what they put in the fucking water in the early 2010s, because that man was everywhere. This Is Gospel.
High Hopes.
High Hopes. Fucking even his cover of Bohemian Rhapsody. Jesus Christ, it was everywhere. It's everywhere.
Also, like, I love those tracks. Also, I think one of the most genius tracks that probably doesn't get enough credit is Paramore, Ain't It Fun. As you know, I always play that at DJ
Don't
sets.
Don't go cry, yeah.
I love
do
that
your
song.
Mama, do your mama. Because you're Hayley Williams, hire me.
It is a...
She took us to church.
That's an earworm.
She took us to church.
That is an earworm.
That was before its time. That was such a fucking banger. Do you know, maybe I have one that doesn't count. I don't know if it counts. Because technically it is an earworm. Like, I still listen to it today. But it wasn't as popular. I think as we reflect on, like, the you know, like, the early 2010s, there was, like, that twinkly emo, like, basement, like, Tiny Moving Parts, Citizen. Citizen, The Night I Drive Alone.
You don't understand how obsessed. Do you know
real,
I've got
Real
most...
Friends, bitch. Hello.
I loved Real Friends. Do you know I've got the most awkward photo ever with Citizen, where there was all of them, and so we were all standing in a line to have our photo taken, and I couldn't figure out, like, I was in front of two of them, so it was too late to now put my arms around their necks.
Oh my god.
And so now I'm just sandwiched in between two of them with my hands like dangling in front of my body whilst everyone's like got their arms around each other, and it's just a really awkward photo. But I love that album, Yasmin.
I know.
That was so good. Okay, I've got another two earworms for you that I don't think get enough credit.
Go on.
Right? Are you ready?
Go on.
The first one being Ghost Town.
Creepy girls, you're just my
Ghost Town. Yeah. They had bangers.
Them little emo boys were cooking, man. They came into the kitchen ready.
And then the other one, I will never forget the first time I heard, right? I was, a plugger sent it to me and she was like, this band are about to release this song. And it was Set It Off, Why Worry?
Bloody
and
hell.
I think that was before Paramore. And it was like this, like clapping along, take you to church song. And I was like, this is it.
Do you know, there's this so much that happened in that era. You've just reminded me, Neck Deep. Hello, can't kick up the roots. Life's Not Out to Get You.
Neck Deep has some bangers.
State Champs, hello. Oh my
Stage
god.
Champs.
Their first album, State Champs' first album, Secrets. I've got more secrets than you'll ever know. Another
and
year.
How can we forget? Do you know who I've not mentioned?
Who
are one of the few bands that can do metal and earworms super well? I Prevail.
Yeah.
Like, from the minute they released that Taylor Swift cover, I was in. I was plugging them on the radio. They weren't even like a thing properly yet, and I was like, this band are amazing. And then when you hear their releases, we will have missed people out, by the way, that when you're listening to this. This is songs that...
This is more American, but I put Black Butterflies and Deja Vu by The Main because, like, that had Americans at the neck in 2010s.
Right.
Black Butterflies and Deja Vu. Da-da-da-da-da-da. But it wasn't really a thing here in the UK. We were too busy crying over Citizen and Real Friends. Hello, Real Friends.
Real
Hello.
Friends. I loved some of this. Oh, my gosh. And bands like Knuckle Puck and stuff, they had some huge hits.
Oh, my God. Do you know who had really good earworms? I'm so sorry. Maybe not earworms, but do you know Jared Alonge's covers of pop-punk songs? I know them more than I know the pop-punk songs.
Yes, that says how much time you spent on the internet more than anything else.
I was chronically online, yeah. Do you know what we haven't... Before we get to 2020, we haven't even covered emo rap.
Yeah.
Yeah, Falling Down by Lil Peep and XXXTentacion, and then Lucid Dreams
by... didn't get that then.
By Juice WRLD.
Okay.
Yeah, because they were fucking everywhere. I still see your shadows in my room. Can't take back the love that I gave you. That was everywhere. I heard that on the radio. I heard it in my dreams.
I could hear it with Lucid Dreams.
But
I didn't
come,
get
let's watch the rain as it's falling down. Or even Switchblades.
It
cocaine,
didn't speak to my soul.
Goth boy, click, da 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 da.
Didn't speak to my soul, I'm afraid.
You didn't get it. You didn't get it. Me talking about hoes shaking it. Ugh. That was such
in
a good
the
time.
Same way that like the 80s lot hated on us when we had nu metal, that's kind of probably who I am against emo rap. But they
I
all...
love emo rap.
I know you do. I know you do.
I know you do.
So can we... I've got two songs from the 2020s, and I'm sure you can say, Sophie, there are so many more. But I got two that I thought were the biggest earworms, and I think you are probably, like, I'm not saying who are good artists, but songs that get stuck in my head for days.
Sophie, I'm sorry, I have to stop you in your tracks because I've just stopped myself in my tracks. Do you know
who we missed?
Avril Lavigne's Skater Boy.
Oh,
Avril Lavigne's Girlfriend.
Yeah, Avril Lavigne had some. Avril Lavigne had some.
Blink 182. All the small things.
There's only so many we could do. Like there are so many. We had to pick. We had to pick the biggest earworms
for us
and for us personally.
Because this is about us. We don't care about your opinions. I'm kidding.
It's not about the best songs of the decade. It's about the earworms that you get so annoyed with because they're so stuck in your head. That is the point of this.
Okay, 2020s. Go on.
2020s. I have two songs.
Okay.
And I think you'll be surprised.
Okay.
I bet you can't guess who they are. So.
Can I have one guess?
One guess.
Do either of them involve Travis Barker?
I don't know, but I don't think so.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. Go on.
My first one, and you're going to be very excited at this. Olivia Rodrigo, Good For You.
That was on my two, bitch! That was on my two!
How can you write a song that... How can you put a song out that catchy?
I know. Like, I know.
I know it is Paramore, but it's...
It's Paramore for Gen Z, and I fucking loved it.
It is... That is... This is... When I talk about, like, well-written songs, this is what I am talking about. We had to turn to pop artists to get a really catchy tune.
That was so fucking good. That, oh my God.
Like, as I've said it, like, I bet you're listening to this right now, and as I've said it, you've started singing it.
Good for you.
Like, you can't help it.
That is fucking good.
That is a bop. And the way, like, millennials vibe with that tune, because it's giving early 2000s. Also, can you guess the other one? Now that you know I said Olivia Rodrigo.
I don't know.
So, my next one is from Gail, and it's A, B, C, D, E. Fuck you, and your mum, and your sisters, and your brother, and your bro. Because that song is going to get stuck in your head.
I hate it. Gail's lovely, but I can't stand that song. Get it away from me.
Why?
It's everywhere.
That's what I'm saying, Yasmin. That's what I'm saying.
Everywhere.
That is why. Because it is such a good... It is an earworm.
Ugh.
Like, I can't hear anyone talk about the alphabet without thinking of Gail. And this comes from a person who was a big fan of Black Bear, and I loved Black Bear, and didn't he have a song with an alphabet in it?
I don't fucking care. IDFC.
That was it. I love Black Bear, by the way. But yeah, so Gail. They're my two. Olivia Rodrigo and Gail. They're my, like, diehard earworms. Get it out of my head now.
Do you know
stuck.
What's sad? I don't think we've had enough earworms in rock and metal for the 2020s. Like, I can't think... Like, Olivia Rodrigo, yeah. But I feel like because we're coming out of pop punk and there's this whole pop punk revival, most of the bands that have been releasing earworms are, like, older bands that are doing a comeback. Like, Can You Feel My Heart has become an earworm. King for a Day has cemented itself as an earworm. But, like, I don't... I feel like it's too premature to say Sleep Token or Bad Omens, but I do think that Just Pretend will never escape my thoughts, and I want to slam my face against a car door. Love Bad Omens, but if I have to hear the Widow, I can't.
So here's the question: do we think bands are writing earworms anymore in 2020?
I think
now
pop
that we've looked
are,
through all of the decades,
I think pop artists are.
Oh,
you
pop
know,
artists are killing it.
Pop artists are killing. Like killing it is the era it. For pop. Like Flowers, Doja Cat owned
Flowers
owned
by Miley Cyrus. Oh please,
like
that is
Say
tune.
So by Doja Cat. Like
yes.
Fucking Hot Girl Summer by Megan Thee Stallion. Body
yes.
Body yaddy yaddy. Like oh like, the pop girlies are not. They're not taking a break. They're not taking a day's rest.
I wonder what is going on. I wonder if it's because the best songwriters don't do rock anymore because there's no money in it. I don't know where they've gone, but we need them.
I think what's happening is what happened in the early 2010s. And in the 2000s, it's when rock and emo and metal went mainstream. It got fucking boring, but it means that there's something underground that's bubbling right now. There's something.
But it came and went too quick. I know it came up on TikTok, but I feel like it went... too quick.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're just losing the okay. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I believe, and I'm gonna look at the camera to say this, I believe that the reason major labels don't invest in rock music anymore, and like the mainstream doesn't invest in rock music anymore, is because you can't manipulate it, because the bands are writing their own songs, they're crafting their own sound. Whereas if you get a pop artist, this person, you give them the songs, so therefore you make money from that, from songwriting, from credits, you give them the producers to work with, they, you, when they're crafted that way, all of the profits can be taken from it. But not many rock artists can be crafted in that way. And so until the music industry, maybe rock will be underground until the music industry has a bit of a shift again.
Let's hope it isn't, because I kind of like being paid and having a job, Sophie.
I know. Are you just like somebody dressed in 80s clothes, like those young kids that dress like 70s? Are we just living in nostalgia?
We are living in the, you know what's interesting? I think the nostalgia bend that we're on right now has kind of warped new music, because I want to go back and listen to all these stuff that feel comfortable to me, that like new artists come out and I'm like, but it doesn't hit the same as nostalgia. And it's like, I can't let nostalgia warp my sense of like what is new and fresh. And like, there is so much good music coming out, and I feel like it's just going straight to the void because it's not nostalgia based. And it's and all these emo bands are coming back, and all these metalcore bands are coming back, and I'm excited, but it's also like music can't move forward in that way.
Yes, I hear you. There are some great bands coming out. I just want to hear some stronger songwriting in 2024 from our scene. That is going to get me so crucified. And when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about radio rock. Don't start quoting Dying Fetus's newest album. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about radio tracks that I can play on my shows.
There's not enough radio hits anymore.
Right?
There's not. I feel like you never really get a song where you're like, oh, this would be great for radio. Like, Can You Feel My Heart did so well because it and it was able to resurface because it's a radio-friendly song, right? It was their first single. Like, it was destined to be a radio song. But, like, every time bands put out music, I'm like, this is great, but it's not going to play well on radio.
Every song we have mentioned in this episode has been played extensively on radio. Even Nine Inch Nails' Closer got radio airplay.
But you know as well, people underestimate the power of radio and play and streams and stuff, because like a lot of streams, for example, Lil Nas X, the reason that Old Town Road blew up is because you could play it in supermarkets, you could play it at kids' parties, you could just play it on loop, right? From Spotify, from Apple. So like, it meant that there was streams racking up, and it's like, I don't want people to sell out. Do what you got to do. But I miss radio hits. I miss a radio banger. Something that was easy for a PR person to market. Oh, those were the days.
I don't want people to sell out, obviously, because we have had some sellout acts in the past, like constructed acts in the past few years. But anyway.
Industry plants.
Yes, we have had some of those.
I love when people say, oh, this person's an industry plant, when it's like, oh, they're just a woman in music, when there's more obvious industry plants that we all know.
There are some ones that we all know, but I think the metal community generally hates those ones anyway. So let them just sing about how they want to date underage people. But anyway, okay, let us wrap up there. I think that was our words of wisdom for this week.
Let's. If you want to follow us, you can follow us at We Wear Black Pod on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or you can email us, wewearblackpod@gmail.com. I'm at Yasmin Seaman X on everything.
We do love an email. It's pretty old school, but we do love it. If you want to find me, it's at I Am Sophie K on everything.
Slay. See you later.
Bye.
You were listening to On Wednesday's We Wear Black. Please rate and subscribe so that we can keep doing what we do. Special thanks goes out to the Nova Twins for the badass music, and Wargasm for the killer screams. See you next week.